Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned for the next half hour to Let's Talk About Jesus. So glad that you've tuned into this broadcast today. It can make a difference in your life. It can make a difference in your destiny. God has sent His Son into this world to be our Savior. And I want to talk about Him today. There's so many things we could talk about in our conversations. There are things that seem so important to us, and yet the most important thing of all is whether or not you know Christ as your personal Savior. We're all going to die. That's a reality. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I'm going to tell you right now, without Jesus in my heart and life, without His precious blood covering my sins, there is no way that I could stand before God and answer for my life. I have broken His laws, and I deserve to be punished for that. But I have a Savior, a substitute, if you please, that has taken my place and received my punishment. That is what the gospel is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. And folks, I just love to talk about Him. That's why we have named this broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus. He is the center point of the gospel. Him on the cross becomes the very crux of the entire matter of salvation. So I pray you'll stay tuned today and let's talk about Jesus. If you don't know Him as your Savior, would you listen for a little while? Maybe you'll find out why we Christians are the way that we are and have the value system that we have in our life. Authentic Christians have a different value system because we simply love the Lord that has done so very, very much for us. If you're listening to WMAF by computer, we welcome you today. I was just speaking to someone at work recently about the fact that this broadcast streams by computer to the World Wide Web and through the World Wide Web to anywhere that there's someone with a computer in all of the world. Now that really opens the window of opportunity wide for this broadcast to find its target in the human heart. We claim a scripture when we come to make this broadcast out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 107 and verse 20 said, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. And I'm happy today to be a preacher, a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus, because I feel that I'm a part with other great fine ministers on this station of sending the Word of God to do its work in the hearts and lives of people. And I'm so grateful that you have become a part of this listening audience today. If you are in the Madison area, we welcome you back to Let's Talk About Jesus. And if you're our listeners up in Virginia, we welcome you. And down under in Australia, we welcome you. And in places we don't even know about, we welcome you today to Let's Talk About Jesus. We began our study about Jesus the suffering servant last week in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. It's about the one who came to die for us on the cross, and it was written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born in Bethlehem. It is a prophetic scripture that gives us a window into the future that would when a Messiah would come and who would become a sacrifice lamb and take away the sins of those who would trust in Him. It's a beautiful book, Isaiah 53, beautiful verse of scripture out of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 53:5 simply says, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. This great prophetic person of Isaiah 53, which the whole chapter goes on to speak of as a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. This great chapter in the Old Testament is about our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amazingly, it was written before crucifixion was even known as a way of punishment, to give a death sentence to someone. Never involved a cross until the Romans took over Jerusalem. After hundreds of years from the time this prophecy was written, it wasn't even heard of, this way of corporal punishment of the cross. And yet the word wounded mean he was pierced, literally to bore through is what the Hebrew is talking about. It's got to be all about Jesus to come. And because he has done what he has done, we declare him worthy. You go by churches on Sunday morning, you may see the sign out front says, Sunday morning worship. Well, that word worship comes from the ancient word worthship. And it is that we value, that we put great price upon. The New Testament writers said that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold after the tradition of our fathers, but by the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. It's talking about Jesus becoming a sacrifice for us, just like the sacrificial lambs of the Old Testament. And because he became a sacrifice for you and I, we give him great worth, and we declare worthy is the Lamb. That's why authentic, sincere Christians serve the Lord wholeheartedly. You may wonder, if you're not a Christian, why all the hoopla, why all the excitement? Church doesn't look all that exciting. Well, you know, sometimes, to be honest, maybe church isn't that exciting, but Jesus is. Hallelujah. And if we lift him up and exalt him in our church services, I believe that spirit of excitement and enthusiasm is going to return to God's people. I make no apology for being passionate about Jesus Christ. Passionate in my worship, praise God, and passionate in my praise, because he's done so much for me. My life has been radically, dramatically changed when I met Jesus as my personal Savior. Praise the Lord. I want to read about this worthiness of this sacrifice lamb that Jesus has become out of the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 9 through 14. Listen to this as we learn to worship him. Listen to this. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain," this is speaking of Jesus, "and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." That's just a way of saying innumerable, and no way to count the number. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and forever." The Amplified New Testament says of verse 12, "Deserving is the Lamb." There's no mightier nor sweeter revelation of Jesus our Redeemer than the sacrificed Lamb. The Old Testament sacrifice system was based on the offering of a young lamb without spot and without blemish. Exodus 29:38 says, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first day, day by day, continually." The innocence and gentleness of the sacrificed lamb is featured in descriptions in the Old Testament. As a symbol, the sacrificed lamb prefigured the character of the suffering Lamb of God. All of the progressive revelation of ideas surrounding the figure of the Lamb in the Old Testament sacrifice finds their fulfillment and full expression in John's Lamb of God in the New Testament. See, when John the Baptist encounters Jesus in the New Testament, he declares him to be, by revelation, the sacrifice Lamb. In John 1, verse 29, and also in verse 26, listen, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Because Jesus is our sacrificial Lamb, I am clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Indeed, if the blood of Jesus does not cover my sin, I am eternally doomed. What the Jewish sin offering taught by metaphor, Jesus Christ fulfilled in perfect reality. The animal chosen for the sacrifice on all occasions was spotless, without blemish, and sinless. This picture that we see so vividly portrayed in the book of Isaiah and in the New Testament at the cross is the innocent dying for the guilty. This is why Jesus is so deserving of our love and our devotion, our worship. This is why Christ is worthy of all the praise and the honor that's being given him. Make no mistake about it. The cross was not a place of defeat. Satan did not prevail. All that happened on that terrible day became part of God's salvation plan. Justice and mercy kissed at the cross. See, God is a just God. He can't just sweep our sins under the rug. He can't just look the other way. Sin has to be judged. And because sin has to be judged, how can we be forgiven without being judged and punished? That's why Jesus came. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And it goes on to say in the book of Isaiah, And God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, my sin, your sin, the sins of fallen man were punished in Jesus. And God's wrath was satisfied. So that when we call upon him to be forgiven, we can be forgiven. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful today that God loved us enough to give us his only begotten Son, and that Christ loved us enough to go to the cross and be punished, he that knew no sin, and be punished for your sin and mine, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could spend eternity with him, so that when death comes, and it surely will come, that we won't have to fear it. It is in fact something that will usher us into God's presence forever, not something that will cancel us. And there is no terror in death for the child of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying, I heard a story, a beautiful story of a little boy that was listening to the fact that we shouldn't even have to fear death as Christians because, we're going to heaven. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, Paul said, was to be present with the Lord. After the Sunday school lesson, the teacher asked if anyone, how many in the Sunday school class want to go to heaven when you die? And everyone raised their hand but one little boy in the corner. And she said, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, sure I do, teacher, but I thought you were getting a load up right now. You know, there's an old saying that everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. Well, life is a gift from God, and he did not intend for death to be part of the process of life. Man was created to live eternally. And that's why, even though we know death is a reality, we find it very hard to accept. Sin brought a curse upon this world, and part of that curse is death. And even the Bible calls it an enemy. And it says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is going to die. There is a time coming when Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, and the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And there will be no more death, the book of Revelation says, for God's children. No more crying. All of that is gone forever. I am so glad that Jesus did what he did to conquer death, hell, and the grave, so that I could look at a future and not see my demise and defeat and death, not see the separation from all the people that I love, but see eternity with God and with the people I love forever. Oh, what a joy it is to be a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus, that we don't have to be lost and we don't have to be defeated. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you can have it today. That is the good news. You can know him today as your personal Savior. The Lamb of God is worthy because he became our substitute and he took away our sin. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, there was actually an act that indicated the transference of the sin of the offerer of the sacrifice to the sacrifice. So it was clearly understood that sin was a serious, serious issue. And only the death of that innocent animal could appease for that sin of the person offering it. And it was made vividly clear that sin is serious, but God is equally serious about forgiving sin, even if it's the cost of the innocent's life. Listen to this in Leviticus 3, 6 through 8, in the old system. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and shall kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about the altar. There's great significance in the laying his hand upon the head of the sacrificed lamb. It symbolized the transference of the offender's sins to the innocent sacrifice, the lamb. The person offering the sacrifice placed his hands on the head of the animal, and while pressing down, confessed his sins, symbolizing a transference of sin and guilt from the offender to the innocent substitute victim. It's as if he put his sin and its consequences on the head of the animal that was to die in his place. The Lord God has made Jesus an offering for sin, the scripture said. The moment we put our hands upon his head by faith and we see him being offered upon the cross for our guilt, we know that our sins have been transferred to him and we are free of guilt. We are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a solemn unity in the suffering of Christ and the believer. Christ made full atonement for the believing sinner. His death for the believer is intensely personal. Have you ever heard the term, accept him as your Lord and personal Savior? You see, it was my sins that held him to that cross. My sins that caused him to be punished so. And it was his love that caused him to stay on that cross, because he didn't have to stay on that cross. He could have come down from that cross. He was Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Not just a great man, not just a wonderful, a sweet martyr. No, Jesus was God incarnate, and yet he chose to go to the cross and take my punishment and your punishment so that we could be forgiven. You wonder why we give worth to him? We worship him? We ascribe unto him worship? It's because we clearly understand what it cost God to save us. When that man put his head on that innocent lamb, he knew that lamb was going to die at that moment. That lamb's blood was going to flow in order for him to be forgiven. It reminded him of how serious sin was, and it reminded him that sin cannot be forgiven unless it is judged, and then it can be forgiven. And it's judged in the innocent victim, not in the offer of the sacrifice. And that is what the gospel is all about. He was wounded for my transgressions and yours. He was bruised for my iniquity and yours. That's why we love Him. We sing a song at our praise gathering on Sunday morning. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we give Him our everything. Because of what He's done. Because of our understanding and appreciation of what He's done, we ascribe to Him worship. Praise the Lord. In the suffering of Christ and the believer's understanding of that suffering, we begin to understand the intense personal nature of the cross and of salvation. Imagine with me, if you will, if you've ever read in Scripture or saw portrayed so vividly in the film The Passion of Christ, that if you were in the crowd that day and you stepped out of the crowd as He carried His cross to be nailed upon it, and that you stepped out not to carry His cross, not to comfort Him in any way or aid Him in any way, but just to put your hand on His head and push down and confess your sins as He is struggling to walk up that hill called Golgotha. It wouldn't just be a sentimental story anymore. It wouldn't be just something that we think of around Christmas time. It would become brazenly vivid and intensely personal. We would be gripped by the stark reality that it was our sins upon His head that caused the stripes on His back. Our sins upon Him that caused such suffering and pain upon the cross. Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray," in verse 6, "and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse 7, he's vividly portrayed as the lamb. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." The fact that he didn't open his mouth is very significant, because he told Peter, "I could call thousands of angels to deliver me if my kingdom were of this world." Peter, put up your sword, when Peter tried to defend him. I'm going to read this from a paraphrase. It's beautifully written of what I just read. "We were all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing and gone our own way. And God hath piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on Him, on Him. He was beaten, He was tortured, but He didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, He took it all in silence. The Lamb of God is worthy today, deserving of all that we give unto Him in terms of praise, our life, our service, our material possessions, whatever we give to His work, because He took our place. He took our punishment at the cross." God must punish sin. The Bible said the soul that sins will surely die. "The wages of sin is death," declares the Scripture. Sin deserves and demands by its very nature that it be punished. But God is holy, and sin must be punished. That's why we have sinned and are like wandering sheep. But God, in an act of grace, provided and accepted a substitute for sinners. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life." This verse teaches us that God spared not anything of heaven's best, but heaven's very best, His only begotten Son, and freely delivered Him up to death as a sacrifice for sin. This is an incredible, incredible truth from the Word of God. The whole process of salvation is ascribed in the New Testament to the sacrificial death of Jesus. It is upon the moment of death that the grounding of salvation is exclusively concentrated. I love what Bishop Lejeune said. "Listen, let me hear that Christ died in the stead of sinners, of whom I am chief, that He was forsaken of God during these fearful agonies because He had taken my place, that on His cross I paid the penalty of my guilt, Let me hear that His blood cleanses from all sin, that I may now appear before the bar of God, not only pardoned, but innocent. I was in effect crucified on Calvary, and He will in effect stand before the throne in my person. His the penalty, mine the sin. His the shame, mine the glory. His the thorns, mine the crown. His the merit, mine the reward. Verily, Thou shalt answer for me, O Lord, my Redeemer. In Thee do I put my trust. Let me never be confounded. That's why all heaven praises the Lamb. Amazing love, astounding sacrifice. He is worthy of our all. I heard the true story of a man that worked years and years ago. This is back before, I don't know what the methods are now in slaughterhouses. My own uncle worked for a while in a slaughterhouse. And his job was to slaughter the animals that were to be hung up and bled and then cut up and made ready for market. And it was predominantly a cattle slaughterhouse where this man worked. He was a big man, and he used an actual hammer to kill the animals. And there's much more sophisticated ways of doing that today, maybe more humane ways. But he would hit them. He was a huge man, and he would hit them in the head with that hammer so hard they would drop to the floor. And if he had to hit them again, he would strike them again till he was sure they were dead. And the smell of death and blood permeated that place. And day in and day out, it was his job to kill the cattle that were brought for slaughter. But they began to process another kind of meat, lambs. And as the lamb was brought before him, he got ready to hit the lamb. And when he did, the lamb licked his hand. And he put the hammer down because of the innocence of this little beast that he was about to kill. And he said he took his apron off and he laid it down. He was a man, he had heard the gospel and he'd heard about a Lamb of God that would go to the cross and suffer and die so that we could be saved. And he said, I just can't kill this little innocent one that at the very moment he's going to die is expressing love to me. Incredible love when we see Jesus as the Lamb of God taking our place upon the cross. Today I want to challenge you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you couldn't stand before God, if you drew your last breath right now, I want to encourage you right now to open your heart unto Him and let Jesus become your sacrifice lamb. In essence, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are putting your hands upon His head, Him who is about to go to the cross. And you're transferring your sin from yourself to Him so that your sin can be punished and judged, so that you can stand before God as if you had never sinned. That is the most incredible love, the most incredible message that I have ever heard in all of my life, that I could go free because my sin has been punished in Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love Jesus today. I don't see how anyone who's ever heard the gospel and really comprehended what has happened at that cross cannot love Him back, receive Him as your Savior, and serve Him with your life. I am not a professional preacher today. I am not in this as a profession. I am a man who has been saved by the blood of Jesus, and a man who wants to tell other people how to come to know Him as their personal Savior. This is an intensely personal thing that God has done for you and me today. It is so personal, there was never a lamb offered that the offerer didn't comprehend. Sin is very, very serious, and it takes a sacrifice. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's why the blood of Jesus becomes so very, very, very precious to those of us who have been saved, who have accepted Him as our Lord and our personal Savior. I encourage you, if you're a Christian today, to serve Him wholeheartedly. to begin to give Him everything that you possibly can to express your love and to show His worth. I value Him above everything and everyone in my life. And I said something at our meeting recently. Loving God more doesn't mean loving your wife less. It doesn't mean loving your children less. It doesn't mean loving your mother and father less. It just means giving Him that place, that supreme place in your heart that only a God that would do this for you deserves. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. Well, it's been good to be with you today. I hope you'll come back next Tuesday at 2 p.m. and let's talk about Jesus Christ.